episode 364.
Well, the good news is this program has been approved by the state of California.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. And we have a very smart ASCCA panel here. John Epstein of John's Automotive Care, San Diego. Brad McCombs of Cumaca Community College. And Dara Bakshanda of CD Auto Care in La Mesa, California. For over 400 episodes, the podcast has been providing food for hungry aftermarket minds that will satisfy every palate for service professionals, owners, service advisors, suppliers, technicians, and inquisitive students. You will find this episode as a groundbreaking announcement from ASCCA, the Automotive Service Councils of California, and Cuyamaca College in El Cajon, California. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. You know, I believe this episode covers an industry first, an associate's degree program that channels the students to independence. You likely know about the Ford Asset Program, the GM ASEP, the Chrysler CAP program, and the Toyota T10. Those are all created by the OEs and channel their students to the dealerships. Now, it took a few dedicated shop owners and an educator to realize that the independents needed to have their own program. Listen to the story on the creation of this ASCCA degree program that I believe is the only one like it in the U.S. It is designed to place students in sponsoring independent repair facilities where students gain valuable work experience and collaborate directly with business owners. And this program goes beyond just automotive technology. It can prepare students for business ownership. The educational plan can include real estate, business, and even communication classes. Find the show's talking points for this unprecedented AAS degree program at remarkableresults.biz/E364. Now, please share this with a friend. The more we focus on education, the bigger benefits for our industry. Now, listen to breaking news for the entire industry from ASCCA and led by Brad McCombs, Dara Bakshanda, and John Epstein. And please let me know what you think about this. Hey, a warm welcome to the ASCCA. John, is this the education panel?
It is. It's a very smart panel.
He's very, very, very smart. Wait till you hear how smart these guys are. John Epstein, John's Automotive, San Diego, California.
Welcome, everybody.
Dara Bakshanda from C&D Auto Care in La Mesa, California. Hello, Dara.
Hello, everybody.
And Brad McCombs, instructor, Cuyamaca College in El Cajon, California.
Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, or whatever time it is, wherever you are.
Okay, why are we here? Big stuff, big news coming out of California. The ASCCA had their great big team meeting in San Diego this past weekend, so now everybody will have an idea of when we're recording this. But the big news is that ASCCA has really lent an awful lot of horsepower to the college to set up their own degree program for post-secondary automotive technology students. And when I first heard about it, I was right on this like white on rice in order to get this crew in here to talk about it. I know a lot what's going on, but I want you all to have a chance to share to the industry. Which one of you 6 years ago had the spark of this idea to bring an independent program to the college?
That was Dara.
So Dara, take me to that day. That day where you said, you know, I see the Ford Asset Program, the GM ASEP Program, the Chrysler Mopar CAP Program, the Toyota T10 Program. Why isn't there an independent program? Is that what went through your mind?
The whole thing started with trying to find qualified technicians, and the pool is really shrinking. All the guys are aging and retiring. And we went to colleges to hire new interns, but the students coming and graduating the general automotive repair, they really have the very, very basic knowledge and not much on the modern electronics or anything else on the cars. And I saw, being an AC Delco shop, I got a couple of students that were part of the GM program. and I noticed the quality is better. Back then, Brad wasn't still in a college with a couple other shop owners. We got together trying to figure out what we can do to improve the pool of interns that we have to pull from. And that's how it started the whole thing. And about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we got John involved with it. And now Brad working at the community college, that was actually our inside man to give us a lot of helping hand moving it forward.
Yeah, so Brad, you're the inside guy, the instructor, or one of the instructors in working with the college. But John, being a shop owner, you were also on the advisory panel of the college.
Yeah, I'm on the advisory board. I'm also on the foundation board for the Grossmont Cuyamaca College. The job is to work on benefits for the students, including scholarships and things like that. One of the really cool parts of that is every couple months, I sit down with the presidents of the college and the chancellor of the college. I got a chance to meet the dean, which was Larry. When did Larry start there, Brad? Was it about a year, year and a half ago?
About 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So he came from an automotive background and he got excited about this. And I was sitting at my meeting talking with Cindy Miles, the chancellor of the college, and I started talking about it. And she's all, well, why haven't I heard about this? And she got all excited about it and just seemed to move a little faster from that point on. So it was a case of being in the right place at the right time, just talking to the right person is kind of what it took.
Okay, there's a ton of people out there that are on advisory boards that spend a lot of time at their local colleges saying, well, John fast-tracked this thing because he had the ear of the president and the chancellor. I mean, is that the code that needs to be broken, or are you saying, no, listen, there's other ways to get this done?
Well, the good news is this program has been approved by the state of California. So any college, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but I believe any college can say, we want to participate in that program, and they can take the curriculum, put it in their catalog of classes and offer it. We, ASCCA, just has to approve the schools. So.
And is that in California only?
For now. We're not going to close it off to nothing nowhere across the rest of the state, but I don't think ASCCA can manage a countrywide program, but we absolutely can share the information with, you know, other people, you know, at some point so that it can continue. Yes.
Brad, did you think this would get done?
I had never tried it. I was new faculty, non-tenured when I proposed it. Now I'm tenured, so it's a little different, but it's... My feelings about it were that it was the right thing to do from the standpoint that the association itself, the members of the association, are the most supportive of our program. We have Ford and General Motors and manufacturers programs here as well, but that student population is very small. And I think that Dar and I's concern about the general population student were those that we were really trying to hire as interns. So this was a solution, but when the idea was originally posed, it was proposed, and I have the original proposal document I can share with you, but it was proposed to a dean, that it sat on a dean's desk, and then we had another dean, and it sat on that dean's desk, said, oh, we need to go to legal, and then we finally hired this new dean, this new dean was right away said, this is what we should be doing, working with businesses, working with industry, which is our mandate. So he pushed it forward, as well as John being on the foundation, I think really helped. And then it had to go through the whole accreditation process, which is, it has to go to a regional meeting of all of the deans. They have to accept it. And then once it's accepted at regional meetings, like multi-regional meetings, then it goes to the state chancellor. And then after it's signed by the state chancellor's office, it has to go through accrediting agency, which is another separate body. So it has to go through a lot of different academic bodies before it's actually approved. So did I think it would be approved? I was hopeful, but a lot of people told us that we couldn't do it. It would never happen.
What was the difference between that program where the independents took a look at that and says, yeah, wow, we need this, and the current program you have? Was there different courses or more leaning toward different technology?
The difference is the relationship. So first of all, having a brand of the association. The association are an association of business owners. So we feel that having a placing a student in a that with a shop owner that's part of an association that's concerned about government, is concerned about policies and procedures, that are friends with each other, that that's the right type of a place to place our students. And that the big difference is having also a pathway. Like, these are the general education classes we want you to take. Like, what math class, what English class, and then like what other business classes can we advise a student to take where they could someday become a small business owner? So having the mentor relationship with a business owner is different. And also the quantity of work experience hours in the degree is also different. There's substantially more work experience hours required to graduate than our general program degree. So it puts them in a cohort. We call it a student cohort, where they're with other people that are in that degree. And then the association has monthly meetings. So we feel like there's going to be some interaction between the association and our student body. And we think it's going to become something very special, but it's going to take time.
John, Dara, did you have a hand in taking a look at those classes, those courses? Those preparatory, you know, to get them ready to not only get out and turn wrenches, but conceivably own their own business?
Brad and I sat together, not that much on the general education aspect of it, but on the technical automotive. And we went through all the courses that the college was offering and handpicked the courses that are more related to what the students are going to be dealing with nowadays. Like, for sake of argument, you know, how to rebuild a carburetor really is no longer needed. So we got rid of some of the super basic or made them as a prerequisite to the other classes and picked the courses that had to do more with the modern day vehicles. And right now, some of the community colleges in California are also allowed to offer a four-year bachelor's degree. I think there is one automotive in the state of California right now being tested. But we decided a lot of these students at some point working at Independence may want to be their own owner of their own shops. With Brad, we are working with San Diego State University right now to see how we can get our program to work towards an automotive bachelor's degree for them to get more business courses. So when they want to become a shop owner, they have a 4 years degree, but the degree by itself is not that valuable, but the information they get getting those degrees to be able to run a successful shop and be prepared for it, having accounting, other business marketing courses that they need. So we are trying to grow this program from an associate degree to actually a bachelor's degree.
You know, we sit, both Dar and I sit on the advisory board. So I'm not sure how long Dar has been on it. I think he was on it a little longer than I have. I've been on it for probably the last 5 years or so. And so we get an opportunity there to talk about what's important to us, you know, in the aftermarket. We've, you know, definitely left our impression on the classes and the things that are taught and things like that. So, and that's the importance of being on advisory boards. You know, the dealerships are looking for one thing, you know, parts people go, and a lot of times there's very little, you know, in the independent world. So going to the advisory meetings, you have a chance to impact the students that are coming out, you know, once they graduate. So
great advice for advisory boards around the country. Get involved, just yes. Period, as an independent. I'm talking with Anthony Frohwein, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. What are the techs saying about your visit?
Every single time that I set up a training, I try to position the van inside the shop. You know, you're part of their house at that point. Whenever you set aside that time, you tell them that you're coming in, you're providing a lunch, and you're really bringing something of meat and value to the table. Once they get a taste of it, really, by the time you're done, they're asking, when can you come back?
When can you come back? Or, hey, what else you got in your bag of tricks?
Exactly. Exactly.
So the greatest outcome of your visit to a professional shop?
Is just to really make a difference in their everyday procedures, to maximize, obviously, maximize the premium end of the product that's being installed, but ultimately for me being a next shop owner as well is to maximize their profitability in installing the part right the first time and having a happy customer. I always say happy customer is like a happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. Same thing goes with the customer.
I've heard that before. So you take a Wagner OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
First off, they're floored with the cut design on the front end. They'd never seen a brake pad like this before. And then you start to break it down into why it's cut the way it is and how it's application or platform specific, how the backing plates are no longer painted, they're zinc coated, and that's for tolerance level, so that way you don't have buildup on the ears and fitting into the hardware. I mean, you get into all the little nuances that they've changed around with that brake pad on top of the performance end of it. I mean, it's phenomenal. And then once they physically try the brake pad, either on a customer's car or their own vehicle, I've heard nothing but rave reviews about the brake pad.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Was it a factor that you've got such a strong membership base in ASCCA in San Diego?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how many is that?
I think we have 70 or 80 shops that are part of our chapter.
So part of the whole, if you will, program is that internships for the ASCCA program would be placed at the ASCCA members?
Yes.
Got it. And what you've seen, Brad, Dara, and John, is in the general automotive non-OEM classes, you see the students going to intern at OE dealers?
We have 250 students in our program, and of the 250, there's approximately 40 that are our manufacturers programs. That leaves a large pool that only have to graduate a 3-credit-hour requirement to graduate, and they're everywhere. They're in Honda dealers, independent dealerships, municipalities. They're all over the place. The students want to work, but the graduation requirements are low for our general program. This is one pathway a student could choose where there's more rigorous coursework required, and that tailored kind of pathway, we call it, where the degree may include different general education classes, and instead of 3 credit hours of work experience, 12, which is around anywhere, they'll end up with most likely closer to 2,000 hours of work experience, but only about 800 or so that are graded hours, but they end up working usually through the breaks and on weekends, and they end up getting a lot more work experience that are measured. But the measured work experience is about 800 hours of measured work experience.
You mean to tell me that the current program isn't as strong as the new ASCCA program as far as its course content and requirements?
Right.
Ah, and that's the value of obviously, John and Darryl, why this thing got... And Brad, why this thing got signed off and pushed through and said, yeah, if this is what industry wants and this is what industry needs, we need to do this.
You know, at the end of the day, at CARS last year, they were talking about how over 50% of the students that are taking auto shop in college are just doing it for personal knowledge. They're never going to get into the industry. If you're going to be working on a car at your house, it's a whole lot different than when you're working on a car in a shop. And, you know, the hours that you have, that you spend in the shop, you know, you go to school, you learn the theory, you go to the shop, you take the information out of your brain, you send it to your fingers, and you make things happen. And that's the important combination, you know, of why the work experience is so important, in my opinion. So
general program, as Brad said, has 3 units of work experience. Our program has 12. Now, each unit is roughly 70 hours of working in a shop. So 3 units for general program means 210 hours total in 2 years. as with our program, is almost 1,000 hours. And that's only the times that they're actually being supervised, monitored, graded on what they're doing in the shop. So if somebody wants to give them additional hours to work, because our internship is a paid internship, so the students get paid while they're in our shop. So you can hire them to work additional hours. It doesn't, you know, affect their credit hours at the school. But they get a lot more hands-on experience versus sitting in a classroom and reading a book.
I just find this fascinating, exciting, cutting edge, the right thing to do. Will you believe that this program will actually recruit more students into the program because they see it's bigger, better, thicker, if you will? It's got more meat on the bones?
You know, I pool our students and survey our students. And the question is, would you like to work at a dealership and become trained in a manufacturer's training program? Or would you rather work at an independent dealership and maybe learn from an owner of a business and own and operate your own business someday? And the response from most students is about 70%, I'd rather work at an independent dealership and learn how to run a business someday. And I think that the American dream, you know, owning and operating your own business today is a hook that the ASCCA degree offers that the manufacturer cannot ever offer. I mean, to open and operate a dealership, it's a multi-million dollar investment. But to work alongside of an actual owner who can teach you not just how to work on a car, but also the skills needed to talk to customers and write service and other parts. And if we can tailor, like we have a real estate class, we have business class, we have accounting class, we have marketing classes at the community college that we're not really utilizing for our general program students, but we want to start tailoring our student education plans that are individualized for that business. Like, what do you, you know, where do you want to be? And for the student, where do you want to be? Let's make an education plan for you. Do you want to transfer to a four-year university? Okay, these are the classes. This is the English class you need to take. Are you happy with a local degree and just working towards owning and operating your own business someday but don't want to go on? Okay, then let's tailor an education plan for you that will accomplish that. So I think it can be tailored to the business and to the student.
Will you have articulation programs to go on to the four-year program?
We have transferable maps that we can use for the ones to go on, depending on what their major is. But there is no transferable degree for what used to be called the industrial arts. We've kind of lost the industrial arts in California. It's not gone, but that would be the meta major, would be the industrial arts. So that's kind of used to exist at San Diego State University and does not really exist anymore. We lost like those pools of high schools in the state. We also lost some other parts on the higher education side as well.
So, Brad, your role in this whole thing was to help dot the I's and cross the T's based on what John and Dara and the rest of the team wanted?
I mean, I'm not really a cross the T's and dot the I's person. I'm more of I would say I was an entrepreneur in life. I mean, I had a business myself, and I like the education side of things. And so I'm a mechanic by trade. And so what I do is I look at things that are broken and I attempt to fix them. I'm the educator mechanic.
NATEF, ASE Educational Foundation, this is all in compliance, guys?
Yeah, we're basing everything on the NATEF standards. So we went so far as to, like, on our work experience, we're basing everything on the NATEF competencies. The NATEF competencies do not have all the competencies necessary, but it has like probably 85% of the competencies that we want. And so we've taken the NATEF standard competencies and developed a student record book that says where they can fill out and document every single competency that's needed to be NATEF certified. And we're using that as our Bible, our basically our standard. And the students can perform those competencies at work, and they can also perform those competencies at the college.
Dara, 6 years ago, did you think we'd be sitting here talking about this big launch?
After how rough the first year was and how few people were coming on board, no, I didn't think the program would ever launch. but I'm glad I stayed with it. And as I said, there's just different things happening. John coming on board, Brad going to work for college, and everything else. It just happened to help everything and point us to the right direction to navigate. Because we're not dealing with the colleges and how they start programs, and the fact that everything you want to do in a your local college got to get all the way approved by the state of California. And 3-4 years ago, we had with the ASC Educational Foundation, we had meetings in Sacramento with the Chancellor's Office of the state of California, and basically the roadmap they put in front of us, it was almost impossible to navigate. And we were not getting any help from them as to how we can get this thing to go. And we decided the best thing to do is to start it at the local and bypass the state, because they were not very accommodating to get a new program going.
And you pick San Diego and Cuyamaca College because you guys were there. I mean, you basically said, it says we're going to go local. Where I'm driving at, guys, is someone's listening to this and saying, wow, I love this. I believe in it. This is so important. Can I duplicate it? And I guess what I'm trying to give some advice, some swing thoughts, if you will, to North America and say, I don't even want to attempt it. Forget about it. I don't have enough time. And I'm looking for some encouragement that says, go local, try to build it from the grassroots up.
Well, when we originally started this 6 years ago, actually the meeting was in my office. As I said, there was Brad, myself, two other shop owners, and representative from all four colleges in San Diego that have automotive programs. And we basically gave them what our idea is and what the goal is. Didn't get much of a help, so we decided to work on it ourselves as much as we could. And the proximity of my shop and John's shop to Cuyamaca College, that was the school we were working with the most, even though I'm on an advisory board of all four colleges, but Cuyamaca is the one I was just more involved with. And then Brad started working there. That was just the easiest school to work with to get this program launched, because now that it's up and running and it's approved by the state of California, any other school in the state can just go kick it and implement it, basically.
Do you see that happening?
Actually, one of the other colleges in San Diego that we talked to, they are all over it and they want to get it started.
Yeah.
The only catch 22 right now to the way our program is, the school that wants to start it got to be somebody in one of the ASCCA chapters, because it requires a chapter for ASCCA oversight to make sure the program stays within our standards. So they can't just, if there is no ASCCA, they can't just grab this program and get it started and use the name and everything else. It has to be within one of our chapter territories.
As the incoming president, John, that's got to excite you. You've put all this work into this, and ASCCA just wants to be sure that this thing stays grounded, strong, moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. Been trying to address the technician shortage for a long time, and it's a tough thing to deal with. So, Dara came up with, a phenomenal idea, got it started, and, we're not going to see the fruits of our labor for another 4 or 5 years, but our hope is that we'll get some students signed up, take off, be successful. Good news is I actually hired a kid yesterday that 17 wants to go to college, and he started at the right time, because I think he may be our first student that signs up for the program. We're just really excited to be able to offer this. It's a huge benefit to our members, across the state. Because if you ask, 9 out of 10 shops, they're looking for a quality technician or, quality service advisor. The parts guys, I'm good friends with the NAPA, and they're struggling to find counter people. There's so many different jobs in our industry besides being a technician. And that's one of the things that we need to do a better job of too, is, putting that information out there. It's not just all about the technicians. It would help a parts guy immensely if he knew how to fix a car. It's not mandatory, but it's a whole lot easier to be able to identify the parts we're looking for. So
you're so right. If the romance goes out of me wanting to be a technician, they could take all their knowledge, the investment that they have in their education, and take it to another part of the industry.
Yeah. And some of them just don't want to get their hands dirty, but they love cars. So yeah, working as a, you know, a service advisor, you know, great opportunity. Working as a, you know, a counter person. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that are out there that are available. So
guys, let me get granular here for a moment. You had mentioned we've got to fill the course now. And Brett, as you were saying, there's about 250 students in the program. Can they choose to go to the ASCCA program? It kind of, it's, if you will, fits in like an OE program?
Right. You would, you know, let us know that your intent is to go into the ASCCA program, and then we would try to find a ASCCA sponsor for you. And it would be an application process. So you could desire to be in the ASCCA program. You have to be accepted into it based on ASCCA dealer sponsor. Going back to advisory meetings, you know, because we're talking about working with colleges. Oftentimes, when we go to advisory meetings, it's led by the college. The college, often the advisory meetings are just, they're worried about what equipment they're getting. I don't think the equipment necessarily solves the problem. It's really the relationship with business that solves the problem. So I would say that you don't have to have a college faculty like me to get this to work, or have somebody on the foundation, but you have to make sure, since the college, the community college, belongs to you. So the business, technically those meetings are the legal meetings. So if you were to go with a group of people and tell the college this is what you want in the advisory meeting, that would be the starting point to like initiating it. That's, you know, kind of a little bit off topic, but I just want to say that oftentimes I'd come to even our own advisory meetings and I would think to myself, why did we just do that? And what did we get out of it? You know, like most of the time it's all about equipment, what equipment they need. And sometimes it's about curriculum that's needed, but it needs to be something that does something. The meeting has to accomplish something that's an actionable goal.
On that note too, you know, keep in mind that any college in California doesn't have to do anything other than adopt the curriculum. You know, they don't have to write the curriculum, put the program together. All they have to do is adopt the curriculum and get approval from ASCCA to join in the program. So, you know, a school could easily decide 2 weeks before, you know, well, I don't know when they print their manuals and stuff, but, you know, it could be a 2-week process, a 3-week process to decide they want to do it, get approval, and start offering it to their students.
You remember, these are large barges.
Yeah.
They'd have to go to an advisory meeting. They'd have to vote that they wanted to do it. And then they'd have to, the college faculty that are running that department have to agree that they want to do it. And they would go to their curriculum committee and the dean would have to sign off before they did that. And then, but the fast track, I mean, they wouldn't be starting something brand new. They would be joining something. So it'd be a lot faster than what we did. I mean, ours took a long time. They could have theirs done within a year or 6 months. They could probably be up and running instead of waiting and waiting and waiting for approvals. So it'd be a lot easier, but not super easy. Nothing's easy in education.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to do stuff sometimes.
Ever thought about how this would work outside of California? Someone's listening to this and saying, God, we got to do this. Okay, you guys did it for 6 years. You've done an awful lot. Give us an idea of what you would think would be the challenges outside of California.
Since I'm doing pilot project work for a Ford Motor Company, so I'm the Ford Asset Coordinator Instructor, and I do a lot of work with Ford. And we talk a lot with other people that are within the country. So some of the stuff that I'm doing is, since I'm doing distance ed pilot education, we're teaching people from all over the place, but we're talking about, you know, a program that can be used nationally. I would say if somebody's from outside of California or within California, and there's somebody has a good relationship and they need to use the resources of the college, that the college is one of your best resources to do something like this. Your local community college is where you should be. And I often tell my peers at Ford or board, I say, why are we having students, you know, we only have three training centers in California. Why are we not using all of the community colleges in California? So if a student is near a Ford dealership and they're next to this community college that has an automotive program, why are we not recognizing those credits? Why are we not recognizing that? So there should be more articulation and more use of the community college system, because it belongs to the citizens. And so that would mean even a business that may not be ASCCA, it may be Bridgestone or Firestone, it may be another manufacturer, use the community college.
John, is there anything, here I am, and I'm in Oklahoma, and I love this, and I'm on the advisory board of a community college, and I'd love to start a program like this. How do I even get a glimmer of this? How do I write to John or Dara and say, God, can you spend a few minutes on the phone with me, and can you show me anything? Because I think this could be a firestorm.
One of the challenges of, you know, moving this to other states is there needs to be an association like ASCCA that is willing to kind of take it on, oversee it. You know, would this program work all on its own? I don't think it would have the same impact. You know, the students are going to have to go out and find shops. You know, we have 70 or 80 members, you know, in ASCCA, and I don't think all 80 members are going to want to participate in the program. It would be silly not to, but, you know, there will be a few out there that just, you know, either don't need to hire anybody, don't see the need, whatever it is. You know, you're going to need an organization that has the higher level shops in it, that have the foresight to see there's a problem, to see this could solve the problem, or at least help solve the problem. And then people that are willing to take it on, make it happen. Absolutely, people could reach out to Dara, to myself, to Brad, I'm sure, and, you know, get some feedback and get some information. You know, we'd be happy to share it. You know, it's just going to be finding that organization to kind of, you know, take lead and run with it.
I like how you said that. You're going to need a group of independents and an association to really anchor this. And I believe that's the challenge for the other independents that are out there that are listening here in North America and around the world. Hey, when's this going to start?
January. It's in our catalog now. The catalog document that we use to put in the catalog, or the description on our website, it's on the left column block. If you go to our department website, it's the original document that we used for the proposal. We haven't really changed it. I was thinking, what am I going to put up there? Well, I'll just put up the original proposal document. Eventually, we'll have on that site all of our policies and procedures and all of our documents, like, you know, the intention document, the intention to sponsor document, the application document, all the documents that go along with that. But yeah, it's just more inclusive. Now it's just our what is it? You know, we kind of put up a schedule and, you know, what it means. Like, what is it? Degree.
Thanks, Brad. Well, look at guys, great update on this. The weekend that you guys just had, can you know, Dara, John, can you give me a flavor of the excitement? If there was a ton of excitement around this program, what were the members saying?
Back to your earlier question about, you know, how can, you know, people in other states, you know, get this program out there. ASCCA has decided to offer out-of-state memberships. That's something new, and we're working on all the details, but we are going to offer out-of-state membership, and that might be the ticket to, you know, tying onto this, you know, without, you know, recreating everything and having to have your own association. My hope is at some point this will be so big that ASCCA will need to hire a company to manage everything, you know, which may happen. You know, it's a big dream, but, you know, it's out there. So that's a big plus. We actually talked about that at Team Weekend, was our out-of-state membership. So we're not going to go out actively seeking new members, but if people care about what we're doing, think we're doing a great job, can give them some benefit, they can sign up. As far as what the membership was talking about, everybody was really excited. We had a huge turnout, larger than we usually do. We had educators in the room from the college, from the high schools, you know, shop owners. It was a really good turnout. Everybody's really excited. One of the ladies has been working with us for years. She came up to me and says, "Boy, this is like having a new baby. And, you know, you're the father, you know, as in ASCCA, we're the father. And now we get to watch it grow and mature and that sort of thing." And so, yeah, it was kind of that kind of excitement that I saw from a lot of people. So
the lack of technicians, it's really not a San Diego or California issue. It's a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
And if there is anything I personally can do for somebody in another state, we don't know the rules or we don't know how the systems work in other states. But if there is anything anybody needs from me personally, you're more than welcome to put my email address out there. They can contact me. I'd be more than happy to call and talk to them. I'm sure the other guys would be willing to at least tell them what we did, how we went about it to get the ball rolling for them.
Thanks, Dara, for that offer. That's just incredible. Knowing that this was your seed of an idea 6 years ago, and for all the right reasons, too. Brad, any final words?
Most training plans fail with students when there's not a plan. So what we need to do when we create these things is show students not where they're going to be. We need to show them where they are, find out where they are now, and find out where they want to be, and show them how we're going to get there, and continue to measure that along the way. And I don't think it stops after 2 years. I think the plan should be like more of a 5-year journeyman type plan.
Yeah.
I think if we have measurables plan, then we can have student success, and that the college's job is to work with the people that can actually provide the resources. So that's my final thought.
Thanks, John, Dara, Brad, for being here and sharing this exciting news.
You betcha. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dara, John, and Brad, for contributing to the podcast. It is important that we learn how and why you created the ASCCA degree program to bring a special group of students to the independents. The key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E364. Now, please don't forget to check out the new books page on the website, and I love to hear from you. Please write me, karm@remarkableresults.biz. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.